This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine nearly 50 women, many who were once just girls, walking into federal offices one after another, clutching memories no one should ever have to carry. They tell their stories, they name their names. They describe rooms, jets, ledgers, handlers, the men who bought them, and the men who looked away. They trust the system because they trust the system because they were told that this time you coming in here, tell us your story. Justice is real. We're going to take care of you. And then one morning, the files just disappear. The investigation they helped build, the one that was supposed to bring down the rest of Jeffrey Epstein's empire, is quietly transferred to Washington. 6 months later, it's over. Case closed. No evidence to pursue. That's the world we're living in right now, kids. This week, Congressman Jamie Raskin sent a scorching letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi that read less like routine oversight and more like a rescue flare over a government cover-up. He's demanding answers about why the Department of Justice and the FBI under the Trump administration killed the most significant sex trafficking investigation in modern American history. An investigation that was still active in New York, still interviewing survivors, still issuing subpoenas until in January of 2025, it was yanked away from the Southern District of New York and shipped to DOJ headquarters in D.C. Once it got there, nothing happened. By July, the DOJ and the FBI issued a memo claiming they had not uncovered evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. Translation, everyone not already convicted is off the hook. You're all free to go back to enjoying your yachts and your horribly weird covered up lives that only you creepy motherfuckers live. Let that sink in. They didn't say they proved innocence. They didn't say the evidence was exhausted. They said they decided it wasn't worth investigating after 50 women had already given them a roadmap. And in the letter, it's called what it is, betrayal. Betrayal of more than 1,000 survivors of an international multi-billion dollar trafficking ring. And he's asking the question everyone with a conscience should be asking, who are we protecting? Because this wasn't some dead-end cold case. The women had supplied precise, detailed accounts, names, dates, transactions, flight logs, even how the operation was financed. They talked about the shell companies, the facilitators, the sham marriages, designed to launder abuse into paperwork. Their stories were recorded in FBI 302s, the official form used to document interviews. They weren't whispers. They were evidence. And until this January, the agents on the case told them the investigation was active. Then the transfer happened. SDNY prosecutors notified survivors that the files were being moved to D.C. The understanding shared by victims and career prosecutors alike was that Washington would pick up the baton. In theory, give it to us over here. We have some more resources. We're going to take this up, right? Instead, they buried it. So what justification could possibly exist for ending an investigation into a trafficking network that spanned decades, continents, and the upper echelons of power? Well, according to former podcaster and now FBI Director Kash Patel, who now reports directly to Bondi, the survivors weren't credible. He actually said that on the record before Congress. When asked if the victims of Jeffrey Epstein's trafficking ring were credible, Patel shrugged and said the evidence was the same evidence that the Biden and Obama Justice Departments had, and they determined it was not credible. Let's pause on that gaslighting masterpiece for just a second. These are the same women whose testimony helped convict Ghislaine Maxwell beyond a reasonable doubt. A federal jury believed them enough to send Epstein's partner in crime to prison for 20 years, yet suddenly, under this DOJ, they're unreliable? Overnight, their sworn statements transformed from evidence into inconvenience? It's absurd. The pattern is as old as power itself. When evidence implicates the rich and the connected, the witnesses are magically branded unstable, not because their stories changed, but because the stakes did. Even more infuriating, Patel told Congress that the FBI was still asking people to come forward with more evidence. As if 50 women naming 20 perpetrators wasn't enough. As if the bureau that never returned their call somehow needs another round of proof. Meanwhile, the money trail sits untouched. Raskin points out that four major banks flagged nearly $1.5 billion in suspicious Epstein-linked transactions, funds routed through lawyers, accountants, shell corporations, and offshore accounts. And guess what? No review, no subpoenas, no forensic accounting. When Patel was pressed on whether he'd subpoenaed Epstein's lawyers or accountants, the very people who moved that money, he dodged, saying they were part of an investigation in 2018 and 2019. Translation, we already looked once, so we're good. We're good. The same people who will criticize former administrations, they didn't do their jobs right. There was horrible. Well, if they didn't do it right, why are you relying on them saying, oh, they did it once, we're good? If everything in the past was horribly done and not done correctly and not followed through on and all the other bullshit you say. If you truly believe that, then why are you hitching your horse to that post? Well, they did it. That's good. Look again. Because you can't say everything's horrible over here and incompetent and then go, well, it's totally competent and great and we're just going to go with that. If it wasn't done correctly and you want to be the arbitrator of morality and justice and everything else, great. Then do your fucking job. Stop making excuses. The survivors kept talking. They revealed new names, new accounts, new shell companies, even marriages arranged solely to keep the machine running, all of it ignored. So here we are, watching history repeat itself. In 2008, U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta cut Epstein the original sweetheart deal that granted immunity to unnamed co-conspirators, an agreement literally designed to keep the powerful safe. After that scandal, the DOJ publicly vowed it would never happen again. Under Biden, prosecutors promised to coordinate closely with victims and inform them of every major decision. But according to Raskin, this DOJ has tossed those promises in the trash. He writes that Biden's department has abandoned those commitments in pursuit of a shameful and gigantic cover-up. And that word, gigantic, isn't hyperbole. This isn't a handful of bad calls. It's the full weight of the federal justice system bending itself to protect people who should be facing indictment. Raskin's letter doesn't mince words about what's at stake. The House Judiciary Committee is now investigating whether Trump and his DOJ officials deliberately manipulated prosecutions to shield allies, weaponize investigations, and mislead the public. He's also calling for reforms to the Crime Victims' Rights Act so that political appointees can't simply press delete on an entire case without notifying the people who bled to create it. And Bondi has a deadline. November 10th of 2025, produce every investigative step taken since January 20th. Interviews, subpoenas, search warrants, survivor notifications, every scrap of paper. Turn over every internal file or communication about staffing, file transfers, or the review itself. In short, prove you did anything at all. And that's where this gets darker. If they hand over nothing, it confirms the fear that there was no investigation, just a burial. They hand over something, We'll see exactly how they strangled it, which prosecutors were pushed out, which witnesses were silenced, which memos were rewritten. Either way, it's rot exposed. And if you're wanting to expose the rot and drain the swamp and do all the bumper sticker cliches, then you better damn well be demanding that this takes place. So let's connect the dots. January 2025, SDNY's active investigation is ordered to transfer its Epstein's files to DC. The victims are told the new team will continue the work. Spring of this year, 25, silence. July, the DOJ closes the case with a one-page memo declaring no evidence. September comes around and FBI Director Patel testifies before Congress calling survivors. The same survivors who were used to convict Ghislaine Maxwell and put her away. They're not credible. He also said in that same setting that Epstein didn't traffic women for anybody but himself. Let that delusion sink in for a moment. And now here we are with a demand letter because people can't do their jobs. Because people appear to be covering up for predators. And if that's not what, if that is not what is happening, then please do share. And the answer of there's nothing there, we know that's a lie too. So please, give us an answer. It's your fucking job. This isn't about Democrat, Republican, Senate, whatever. It's about exposing horrible people. It's about getting those people away from kids and women whose lives they destroy and ruin time after time, that create the next generation of predators. Well, they did it. I can get away with it too. This is a generational atrocity that's been going on forever, hence generational. And we're finally saying it needs to stop. And others are going, you don't like that person. You don't like the person I voted for. I don't. It ain't about that. Because look, Obama, Trump, Bush, go anybody. I don't care. I don't care. Should have this all been investigated much more thoroughly previously? You goddamn right it should have been. But it hasn't been. So here's where we sit. And the current administration that has the power to do this is pretending this stuff didn't exist. That's not okay. And it's not a political issue. It's a do your effing job issue. Protect women issue. Protect anybody who these predators have been going after, whose lives they've already ruined. Expose them, stop them, and destroy them. Because they're evil. And anyone who's preventing that from happening also wins that same title. This isn't a bureaucratic drift, it's obstruction dressed up as reevaluation. And every survivor who trusted the system has to live with that second betrayal, the one that happens not in the dark corners of Epstein's mansion, but in the marble halls of justice. Let's talk about what this means beyond the headlines. It means that if you're wealthy enough, powerful enough, or politically useful enough, the criminal justice system can still make your sins disappear. It means the same government that lectures the world about human rights can erase testimony from trafficked children because the names in those files are too inconvenient. It means that for every survivor who stood up in the courtroom and said, "He did this to me," there's a bureaucrat somewhere deciding that her pain isn't credible enough to risk a donor's reputation. And if you think that's melodrama, remember this. This is exactly how Epstein stayed free for decades. He didn't have a magic cloak. He had friends in the right places. Judges, lawyers, bankers, politicians, a former president, all willing to look away. The only thing that ever pierce that shield was sunlight, and right now that sunlight is fading again. You can feel the ghosts of 2008 lingering here. The private meetings, the sealed agreements, the smiling press conferences where officials promised transparency while cutting deals behind closed doors. Back then, the victims weren't even told a plea bargain existed until after Epstein walked away with a slap on the wrist. This time, they were told justice was coming and instead got silence. The system keeps replaying the same nightmare, expecting everyone to forget. But this letter makes forgetting impossible. It lays out line by line the evidence of abandonment, prosecutors fired or cut off, survivors dismissed, financial trails ignored, billion-dollar banks untouched, facilitators uncharged, and the rest of it. He asks the simplest, most damning question of all. Why? Why would the Department of Justice shut down one of the largest trafficking investigations in history? Who exactly benefits from pretending there is no evidence? Because someone does. Someone always does. Maybe it's the billionaire whose name shows up on a flight log. Maybe it's the political donor whose charity suddenly looks like a laundering front. Maybe it's the lawyer who helped draft those shell companies, or the celebrity who partied on Little St. James. But whoever they are, they're sleeping a little easier tonight thanks to the decision made in the quiet office in D.C. Meanwhile, the survivors, the ones who sat across from federal agents shaking, reliving horrors that they were told would finally matter, the ones who haven't ended their lives already or mysteriously disappeared or died, are back at square one. Some of them spent years waiting for that phone call saying the next wave of arrests was coming. Now they know it's not. And that message, the message that sends, is catastrophic. If Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirators can walk free again, what hope does any survivor of organized abuse have? The letter also hints at something deeper, a corruption not just of law, but of empathy. When institutions decide that the pain of victims is a political inconvenience, the entire moral spine of justice collapses. It's not just that the system failed. It's that it chose to. Raskin ends his letter with a warning that reads like an indictment. Congress will not let political appointees silence survivors to protect the powerful. It is a noble promise, but it shouldn't have to be made in 2025. We shouldn't still be fighting to convince the Department of Justice that trafficking victims deserve justice. We shouldn't still be debating whether billionaires can buy immunity. But here we are. Again, and the pattern is unmistakable. Every time the light gets cold, it gets close, someone cuts the power. Every time survivors find their voice, someone in authority decides it's not credible. Every time we inch towards accountability, a memo drops saying no evidence. Maybe it's time we stop calling these things that are happening over and over and over again coincidences, and start calling them what they are. Patterns of protection, protection rackets for the elite, built into the bones of our institutions. The Epstein case has always been a mirror held up to power. For years, it reflected how wealth could warp justice. Now it shows us something worse, how justice can be strangled outright when it threatens the wrong people. And if you listen closely, beneath the legal citations and bureaucratic phrasing of Raskin's letter, you can hear the outrage of those survivors echoing through every line. They kept their end of the bargain. They told the truth. They trusted the system. The question now is whether the rest of us will keep ours. Because if this investigation dies quietly, so does the idea that justice is blind. It becomes something else entirely, justice with a guest list. So when Congressman Raskin asks, who are you protecting? The real answer might terrify us. Because maybe the protection isn't for one person. Maybe it's for the system itself, the one that still can't bear to look its victims in the eyes. And until that changes, every survivor who stepped forward in good faith will know the truth. That in America, the only thing more powerful than guilt is the right connection. That's not justice. That's complicity with better lighting. And the rest of us, why, we have a choice. We either shine brighter or admit that we are fine living in the dark. How do you like to live? Give me your thoughts in the comment section. Share this video like hell, because people need to know what is going on. We're going to keep covering this in great detail. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.